What is going down, everyone? Welcome to another...
Wait. We can't. I can't let you do this, Doug. I can't let you do episode 223. I just can't let you do it.
Why?
I'll be the bad guy. I'll be the bad guy here. And I'm sorry, everybody. We're not going to be able to do episode 223 today. It's just too great. Too great.
It's going to be too great
of
a show.
It's going to be too great of an episode, and I can't... I'm going to be the bad guy. We can't do it.
What, are you going to put it on your OnlyFans?
I'm just going to... Maybe we'll donate the episode to the Boys and Girls Club.
And then we'll sell the episode. We'll random the episode to a random Twitch follower. But anyways, yes, episode 223. That's a little preview of what we're going to be talking about, guys. We've got the Pokemon news with the $3.5 million dupe. We got something about some kind of backyard thing going on that we're going to discuss that I think it's very much in the front of Dan's mind right now. So we'll be talking about that. We've got some QBs that maybe saw their value take a hit over this last weekend. So we'll discuss that. We're going to talk about some skill positions, some wideouts that are still in the postseason, compare some prices, maybe discuss where you should go if you want to collect something short-term with guys that are still out there in football playing. So, got an exciting show today. I'm glad to be back after a week off, a little vacation I had. I'm glad to be back here talking cards with you guys. The website's mojobreak.com. We also have mojobreakshop.com, and we're going to kick it off by talking to you guys about a deal we have. There's only one more release for the current season with LaMelo, the 2021 season, but we got 21-22 hoops. Get yourself involved with the new rookies, Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Kuminga, Juan Toscano-Anderson has a rookie in hoops. So we're offering that at mojobreakshop.com at $179.99 for a hobby box, which is the cheapest on the interwebs. We'll ship that to you. We'll ship worldwide. So grab those boxes while supplies last and get a rookie card of a rookie in their NBA uniform, their first card, and you usually get a good amount of rookies in each box. So always a standard set for basketball and a perfect way to kick off the new rookie season. So get that at mojobreakshop.com. C-Rad, you're here. I didn't know if you're going to make it into work this week after what happened with the Raiders, but you're here in good spirit with the highlighter on, and you're ready to talk sports cards. How was the weekend for you?
Terrible. Terrible, Doug. It was terrible.
I gotta say,
it's good to see him in the playoffs, though.
The Raiders are the most unluckiest franchise in all of sports.
Easily,
yeah.
Not even close.
That. Yeah, I Derek Carr is such a good guy. There was actually it was a montage that I just saw on. It was either Instagram or TikTok. Maybe it was originally a TikTok video of just Derek Carr just saying good things to opponents, like, "Hey man, let me help you up," and, "Oh hey Von Miller, how you doing?" You know, and how's life? You know, just on the football field, just being a good guy. You know, and they say nice guys finish last, and I think that's what happened here, unfortunately, with the Raiders. Hopefully next year you guys will be back. You'll put all the controversy behind you, make another run next year.
No, they nice guys finish seventh.
Nice guys finish seventh.
No, we won't be back next year, Doug. It'll be another 20 years till we get in the playoffs. So I'll see you guys in 20 years.
Come on, man. Glass is half full here.
Not with the Raiders.
New stadium.
Well, Mayock got fired. They got rid of Mayock.
Jim Harbaugh rumors. Might be the new coach. That's always fun, having Jim Harbaugh as your coach.
Yeah, that's something to look forward to, I guess.
Got a 25th pick maybe.
I think at this point it's safe to say, you know, one of the things I always wanted to see was Derek Carr in the playoffs. I seen it, and now we can move on.
It's better than Christian Hackenberg.
Let's move on from DC.
True,
it's time.
Is he better than Jimmy Garoppolo?
Derek Carr?
Mm-hmm. Would you rather have Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr?
I would rather have Derek Carr.
Cody, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I was also going to say that, too. I think Derek Carr. I was going to say, what is it going to cost for Russell Wilson? That kind of feels like the way the Raiders should be going. And if the Jim Harbaugh rumors are true, absolutely do it. That was the best thing that happened to the 49ers in the last decade still. Even though the Niners have been good and they're still in the playoffs, I'm still going to say I still miss Jim Harbaugh. I do.
Well, let's get into the news that I know everybody's been talking about. We have an unfortunate schedule of doing a podcast every Wednesday, and some of these news stories break well before that. But there was two big stories in the hobby, controversial stories that came out on Friday. The first was this Pokemon story that if you've been living under a rock, maybe not paying attention to the news. Basically, Logan Paul, which everybody, half the people love and half the people hate, I think. It's about 50-50. Bought a box of first edition, bought a case of first edition for $3.5 million. He bought it from a guy who bought it for $2.7 million, a well-established big collector of the hobby, Shine. Some Pokemon collectors said, hey, this thing does not look right. This case does not look like a first edition, even though BBC did wrap it, who was the standard in sports cards. So what Logan Paul did was fly out to an area and meet with BBCE in a room, and they opened it up. And at first they seemed excited that they saw some first edition boxes, but then quickly it didn't look real. They opened it up.
I know what I got here. I know what I have here.
$3.5 million.
I know what I have.
G.I. Joe cards.
Don't even lowball me, because I know what I have.
I'll give you $5 for those.
Oh, that was so bad. It didn't even work. They're so good. They stay in the box. Yeah. Defies gravity.
They stay stuck together.
So I just want to get all of our opinions and react to this news. I mean, my first gut appearance is, you know, you see on the hype video here on Mojo Break Media, which make sure you guys hit subscribe, is the dupe. And that was the guy from BBCE. Looked around the room once they found out that it wasn't real and said, we all got duped. My initial response is, no, you got duped. You were the reason that this sold for $3.5 million. Logan Paul would have never bought this. Shine would have never bought this if BBCE did not wrap this case and say, to the best of their abilities, they're the standard in the industry. There's not anybody else in the industry that does that. They're the ones that authenticate it. They're like if there was a jeweler, like the biggest jeweler, Jared the Jeweler or something, they are the standard for doing what was going down here. And to look around the room and basically say, we all got duped, I think it was, no, you got duped, is my initial gut response. And Logan Paul going like, G.I. Joe, in the background as the video faded out, quite comical at his expense. And he came out and said, you know, I took the L. He also came out and said, a lot of people were thinking that it was staged. He's like, you don't stage something like that. You don't stage something that's $3.5 million. He's like, he had no idea when he bought it. He believed in BBCE. He believed in Shine. And also Mealy Pops was the original, and Big Kahuna were involved in it as well. Since then, I guess, Mealy Pops is got the money in escrow to give back, which I guess his portion's around $500,000. The other guy that's got $2.1 million from the original sale is nowhere to be found. So, what's your gut reaction? We'll start with Cody. What was your gut reaction hearing this news?
Bad, man. This is bad. Bad for everybody involved.
Is it bad?
It's bad. It ain't good. It's the opposite of good. It's
no
bad.
Bueno.
Find a silver lining.
Seriously, though, it does give it's a black eye to the hobby, and there's so much. You know, the last 2 years, if you are an outsider looking in, you look at it and you go, wow, there's a lot of money being thrown around in this industry. All of a sudden, a lot of money going around, a lot of big deals, and the deals just keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you see a deal like this, and again, two people who aren't as hip to what we're doing here, you have to raise your eyebrow and go, what's going on? Oh, the guys who are the guys to authenticate this stuff got fooled, got egg on their face. A $3.5 million worth of egg on their face. It looks really bad. They did the right thing of saying no more Pokemon, no more Yu-Gi-Oh, whatever. But part of me just feels like the damage is done. And I think that this is not the last we've heard of kind of digging into this and saying, well, if this could happen to these guys who are purportedly the guys to authenticate this stuff, then what else is there out there that we don't know?
Absolutely.
That is fake? I mean, there's been stuff before. There's been card-cutting scandals and whatnot. But this, I don't know. This just kind of feels like an entirely different, you know, it feels like it's a different world, a different, totally different wavelength of what's going on. It's something way bigger than that.
So, and to give some context, the Pokemon was in a case. The case showed no signs of being retaped. But with talking to people that have seen stuff like this, I guess there's an easy way to heat up the tape from a case. So at one point, maybe this was a sealed case of this product down the line. I mean, the thing came out in 1999. Heated up the tape, was able to take out the contents, and then basically reheat the tape or use more glue, which will be underneath the tape. So when somebody's like BBCE sees it, it looks like it's not been touched. It's not been cut into, because you're not going to see any cut lines when somebody heats up the tape. So, I mean, going forward, yes, I think the same thing that you thought of, you know, if I bought something, I might think twice now if I'm going to buy something that has BBCE on it. I mean, even sports cards at this point, I know that's their forte. So you maybe are a little bit more comfortable with them with the sports card stuff. But, you know, you're always, if you're thinking about doing a deal, it's like north of six figures, and you may be like, I don't know, man. You know, I don't want to take the risk on this amount of money to do that. C-Rad, what was your thoughts on this whole deal?
Same thing, man. First of all, I said, and I've said this before, I probably said this to you guys for sure. Like, in terms of, can we trust anything that's been wrapped by BBCE? You know what I mean? It's like, the value of those wrapped products have to drop down in price now at this point, right? It can't be a substantial premium over.
Well, they
a
were. I mean,
you would
be,
right?
Paying probably a 30% premium on having that authentication on it. Now,
yeah.
I don't know. I'll let you finish, because
the main thing I want to stress is that, with this being the company that a lot of people in the hobby use to authenticate sports cards, right? And I get it, they are a sports card company first and foremost, and that's their specialty in wrapping sealed sports card products, right? If they were gonna venture into the realm of Pokemon here, right, you would think a company that big, right, would have more due diligence in terms of, okay, we've never wrapped a Pokemon product before, one.
Yeah.
Two, how much more of these sealed products are out there? Which is, the answer is zero, sealed and sealed case wise. So they decided that they were going to be they were going to authenticate the first known sealed case of the first edition Pokemon.
Right. It could be fame chasing.
That like, you got to think, they was there more discussions about this, or did they just, like, you know, what was going on there?
That's a good point, because you could get to the situation where maybe they did question it. It was really weird. I think it's, and I'm forgetting the guy's name, I believe it was Rattle Pokemon or Pokey Rattle, the one that brought it to the whole attention to Logan Paul, that this doesn't look right because of the barcode on the box. It really seems silly, because this guy saw this from pictures. He didn't even see the case like BBCE did. He saw it from pictures, and he knew what to look for, and he said, this doesn't seem right. Something about a W in the number, which wasn't in the first edition barcode, did not have a W on it.
Not right. A W, no.
So I wonder, and it seemed like that was easily found in Googling that. So maybe it's easier to find now because of the controversy, and maybe it wasn't when they were looking at it.
Yeah.
But if you're sitting there in your BBCE, I don't know what their revenue is. I know they're probably not anywhere near PSA's revenue, because there can't be a lot of people wrapping boxes, and they won't wrap sealed boxes. I learned that. They won't wrap 0304 chrome boxes that are already sealed. They'll only wrap cases and the wax boxes that aren't previously sealed, like the 86-87 Fleer wax box is not sealed. It was never sealed from the manufacturer. It was just, it came as a open box.
We have one.
Right? We have one.
We have an 89 Upper Deck.
89 Upper Deck,
That didn't have cellophane on it originally, and they wrap it.
Right, because when you open the case as a card shop, you're meant to pull it out and display it, so there was never any, they never think people would buy boxes back then, so they didn't bother shrink wrapping boxes back in the 80s and prior to that. So they won't wrap anything new. So my point here is that maybe they, you know, revenue's not as crazy. They thought, hey, maybe we can get on the map with Pokemon here, because their name was all over the Logan Paul story, right? Now we're going to get that. Maybe they convinced themselves that that was real, because now maybe they have a new segment of their business they can do. They could start authenticating, grading on Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, whatever this stuff is.
They should have brought in an expert on this one, especially for something like this.
Right. Right.
It's like you watch Pawn Stars, and I know this is a joke I've been making, but it's really true. Like, they know what they don't know, right? Like, they're like, you know what? I don't know anything about shoes or Civil War era stuff.
Let me bring in my home appliance guy.
Let me go get my guy.
Let me bring in my blender guy.
Right. Yeah. They have guys. So, and I think it also shows that there is absolutely space. I think we've been seeing grading companies being like, we only do Pokemon. And it's like, kind of scratched my head at first. But now I realize, no, we need that. We need these people who know this because it's different. It's just a different, it's a whole different monster, you know?
I mean, I know they don't want to cut open the sealed case, but maybe if somebody does come out and does that stuff, you almost absolutely have to open the case to make sure the contents, I mean, because that's the, thinking about it now, that's the easiest way to fake it is to take the contents of, you can't even look at the wrappers of the boxes because you don't want to open the case. So you're just looking at a case. And a case is just cardboard. It's got dirt on it. And it's got a label on it. It's got a stop sticker on it. And it's there's nothing really to look at. And whoever obviously planned this out, did their research, knew what to do. And I think BBCE was blinded by the lights in a sense, where they were like, we're gonna get some fame from this because this is Logan Paul, or well, at the time, I think it was Shine. Or I don't know. They actually bought it. They wrapped it when the Mealy Pops and the other guy were involved, well, right?
They got their fame all right.
But they had to have known how much that was possibly worth at the time, right? So they couldn't have said, like, we're going to do this without doing any research. I don't know. I don't know what the thought process was, but this is all hypotheticals on what's going through my head on why they decided to push it through. Maybe getting some fame, getting some more customers that way. Don't know.
All right. But my common sense hat on here for a second. Reiterating what you just said, why are we authenticating a cardboard box that has a little bit of tape on it?
Right.
Like, why couldn't they have done this? I got supposedly a sealed case of first edition Pokemon. You bring cameras in there, you have timestamps, you have a bunch of people involved in it, and you open up the case. All right, open up the case. If they would have done this initially, they would have found out. Logan Paul instantly was like, why is that one bubbling up like that?
Yeah, because it was somebody.
And at that point, and that was like on the top row. So if we're considering Logan Paul an expert, he was able to basically say something's not right.
Yeah,
from the very beginning.
They start pulling out the boxes. The BBCE guy is like, this one doesn't even say first edition on it. Now, why couldn't they have done this initially? Where they open up the case, they film it, they timestamp, they have tons of people there to basically vouch for the situation, deem that it is legit or not legit.
And then reseal it.
And then rewrap it.
Yeah.
And you can basically say, look, there is footage of us verifying the contents are truly what you think they are.
Which is funny that you mentioned that, because that's what they do with, so when they get an 86, 87 Fleer box, and before they decide to wrap it,
they actually
take all the packs out, and because they're wax packs, they can look on the bottom and see who's on the bottom and find the tendencies of, they know that like card 150 will be on the bottom on this, because it's all, it wasn't randomly packed. It's all continuously packed based on a run. So they look at that, and they look at each pack, and then they authenticate. So they're actually taking it out of the Fleer box. Because what would happen was is some people would try to get something authenticated and take all the Jordan packs out and then get it authenticated and wrapped. They're able to stop that because they know how to do that. They know the formation of the packs. So, but they didn't do that with the Pokemon. They just looked at the outside of the box. So it's just very odd.
They looked at a outside of a cardboard box that had a label slapped on the side of it and some Pokemon issued used tape that they still use that same exact tape. So even if like you were really good to like be able to heat it up, you could just go get probably that tape somewhere and then just reseal it. Even if you,
yeah, I mean, you could probably, somebody could have at some point, because we see it online, people sell empty boxes, you know, where the, like, you know, NT box, $100, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they could have bought the empty real case and then bought empty boxes and then basically bought the G.I. Joes and then put it and then got it from another case and take this. I mean, it now that it's happened, you can see how easy it would have been to do it, right? Your mind doesn't think that way because I'm not a thief, but once you see it unfold, then you're like, that's how they did it. So just not knowing how to go through these steps and do that. And then it also brings up a conspiracy theory. And obviously this is a conspiracy theory. Is it maybe that, what if they were offered $100K, $200K, $300K? These guys know that if it's BBCE authenticated, they're going to be able to sell it for X amount of dollars.
Or if they were offered...
I'm not saying that happened, but
or,
I'm saying...
Or it was, they could have been offered a percentage of what the transaction was going to be.
Right. Exactly. So then... And that's what's scary when you get... When you're talking real money in this hobby, when you're talking this kind of money, right? It's, you know, you're like, hey, I don't know if it's real, but, you know, I bought it from this source. And, you know, if I get X amount of dollars from it, I'm going to give you 20%. And if it sells for $3.5 million, then you're going to get $600,000 for just putting your stamp on it.
Yeah.
And that could sway somebody to do some things. I'm not saying that they're that kind of company. They've been in the hobby forever. They probably didn't do that. But money changes people, and that's what's something to consider when you're buying something of this quality, any high-end item, getting the backstory. I mean, Logan Paul, I mean, he trusted Shine. He trusted BBCE. All signs pointed it to be real. It was really hard for him to tell. But you gotta if you don't just blindly throw money at things like this, you gotta do your research. So, yep. Speaking about blindly throwing money at things, let's pivot to the backyard breaks. I'm probably sending customers their way right now by saying their name, but that's fine. Don't blindly throw your money at people that scam people. When we started this thing in 2010, there was very few of us doing this kind of thing. And the biggest thing you had was honesty,
when
integrity.
When you say this thing, not
breaking,
like,
breaking.
Like, okay. Like not that we started our business doing what Backyard Breaks just did.
I was going to say, you started podcasting. We are the first podcast. That's what you could have also said it that way.
Could have said that. Yeah. I was leaving it to the imagination.
Kings of podcasting. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean.
Which when we started, we were indoor. I mean, I don't know what they do when it rains in the backyard. but these guys, basically, if you don't know the story yet, I'm sure most of you do, is these guys, these breakers, we're doing a giveaway on Twitch for an absolute football box 2021. And they had named a person a winner and opened a box that had a gold Kaboom Trevor Lawrence, which is valued anywhere from 10K to 20K. So it's a big card, numbered to 10. And they basically said, kind of what Dan did in the beginning of the show, as we're not giving this away. Sorry, guys. We're not. I think the correct terminology of what they used was, we're not Elon Musk over here. We're not giving this away. This is too expensive to give away.
I also said to get Elon on the horn. Like, there was a lot of Elon.
Oh, yeah. Get Elon on the horn.
A lot of Elon.
There must be big fans. I mean, I get it. But so, you know, and then basically they got blasted. They wound up giving away apparently $20,000 to charity, which I believe has been proven to be real at this point. And then gave away the card to the person that didn't initially get it. But my thing is this is what they're willing to do on camera, guys. Think about what they're willing to do off camera. Think about what they're willing to do, you know, to cases, to other customers. So, you know, apparently these guys are still at it. This didn't stop them. If anything, it seemed to give them more press.
What a time.
And by us talking about this on the show, we're probably getting them more press. But, you know, people like us that got into this hobby when there really wasn't much money to be made, we did it because we love the hobby. We did not get into this to get rich. You can obviously see with these guys talking about values of cards that is what is on their mind. And that should be the first step, is that breaking with guys that are talking about this on free cards they pulled, that they thought that was just too good of a card to give away for free. It's too expensive. Well, at the end of the day, the box was $800 or $900, not $20,000. They got lucky, and somebody should have benefited from that being from someone being lucky. So
Would you? It's funny. We've been doing this a long time. We've seen a lot of these, you know, group breakers come and go trying to do shady stuff like this. And that's why there's options out there. There's reputable breakers. I'm not going to basically say, hey, come shop with us. But if you are listening to this podcast and you want a list of reputable breakers, email us. I'll give it to you. You don't need to go to Backyard. I could point you in a great direction. There's a lot of people out there that do it the legit way that you would never have to worry. If they did a giveaway and it was a $3 million card, they're still going to honor that and give you that $3 million card. There is no card value that is worth ruining your reputation for. So, yeah, these dudes, I mean... Would you put it up there with the Brandon Cooks to 99? Before Cody's time. And I know I know Conrad's definitely familiar with the Brandon Cooks to 99.
I still say it, and I noticed as the years go on, less and less people know about it.
But Brandon Cooks to 99.
I know, remind people.
Now, is that worse because that was a paid break and that guy just straight...
Didn't show the card?
Didn't show the card, swiped the card, stole it. Still, to this day, the card is a mystery. Nobody knows what it is. I've heard it is... It was a Ezekiel Elliott rookie auto. I've heard it was a Tom Brady
contenders
buyback
auto.
Contenders
Peyton
auto.
Manning contenders
heard
auto.
Heard a Peyton Manning. I mean, everybody speculated.
That story was the guy switched out a card and acted like he was checking an email, and you heard cards being slammed in the background, and he basically he hid the card and he did a switcheroo on a card he already had. So and then admitted to it later, but then tried to say it was an Ezekiel Elliott card and basically was done at that point. I think it's DNT breaks. You can look it up on YouTube for a good laugh.
The famous Brandon Cooks 99. I view what these guys did really, really bad. It wasn't quite to the level of the Brandon Cooks to 99 because that was truly people who paid for a break and he swapped out the card in the middle of the break. And if you haven't seen it, it is the worst sleight of hand.
Yeah.
Trick that you will ever see.
Yeah,
like he holds like here's the so here's but the these magnetic, the, he like holds the box
does
over
it make it.
It
does it make it better that these guys were transparent?
I think it looks straight bad, bro.
I mean, you know, I mean, I'm not defending Backyard. Yeah. I'm not
I'm posing a question.
These guys, but like what they did was bad. They should have never made a spur of the moment decision based on monetary value. You know, if you say you're going to give something away, you're going to have to give it away regardless. Even if you're like, I don't want to, it does not matter. You've already said it. It's done. Think about it. If they can, and if they were here and you were like, hey man, would you do that over again? The same exact way you did it. I can guarantee you they would say no. The amount of headache you think it was bad with what we saw. Imagine the stuff that we didn't see, like the direct messages and like all stuff. Like,
yeah, I'm hearing people are going into their chat and they're just banning, like ban.
But I mean,
banning everybody that says anything negative about them.
Get the cutoff shirts and then you get the gold Trevor Lawrence kabooms. I mean, that's how you draw it up right there.
Well, I was going to say, it's a firm decision to wear something like that. You better be on the up and up because it's the moment something doesn't happen right, people are going to point to that outfit you got on.
Yeah, and he was the bad guy, too. Can I
you know
I
what? And there was, and there and was
I
a moment.
That, I wore that hat about a half an hour ago. I get it.
You know, and there was a moment, and you could watch the video yourself by just searching Backyard Breaks. I'm sure it'll be one of the first ones to come up. There was a moment where he was like, I'll be the bad guy. I'm always. So he had a doubt in his mind right then. He had a gut decision that he shouldn't have done that. But then he still spewed out of his mouth that they're not giving it away.
What's wild is that they both telepathically agreed that was what I was going to do.
But they were like, we're giving away
a gold kaboom.
Like at that point, they've already said it. It didn't matter if it was going to be Tom Brady, if it was going to be Joe Burrow, it was going to be Trey Lance. It didn't matter who it was going to be. You've already made your bed. You're going to have to lay in it at that point.
Yep.
And I mean, and the amount of money that they were throwing away on that again, this is a raw card. It may have been graded now, but who knows? You never want to throw a monetary value on your live feed. Yeah. We've talked about it. People could speculate in the chat and that's fine. But like us as a breaker, we shouldn't be putting concrete monetary values on cards that we pulled. They did it for 5 minutes. They were just like, it's 20,000. It's minimum 2,000.
Yeah.
It's 8,000. it's a new Tesla. At one point, it was like, we're giving away a new Tesla.
I'd like to know where you can buy a Tesla for $20,000.
You know,
personally.
You know what's wild too? You know, I was kind of going through Twitter a little bit too, and just reading some comments and stuff, and people were like, people who defend them were saying like, they give away thousands of dollars all the time, they gave the $20,000 away to charity. It's like, if they were willing to give $20,000 to charity and they were willing to still give the card away, why do that in the first place? Like, if this if that $20K don't really don't matter to you, and you're a business that's making money, like, why are you tripping over this Trevor Lawrence card?
Yeah,
bro?
It's like, I think you, it comes back to greed, where if and I don't know how many breaks they do, apparently they're successful at it, but mm-hmm. you can't put your, when you're conducting, you, we're in a service industry at this point. Our job is to provide a service as breakers. We are in a service industry. We're providing entertainment for you. We have no emotional attachment to anything that comes out of the case. Yes, we'd love to see our, I love to see my Niners cards. C-Rod loves to see his Raiders cards. Dan loves to see the Lambs. I mean, we all love to see that, but there's no emotional attachment to anything that is pulled because it's your cards. We're providing a service for you. It's like if I worked at a steakhouse and I was like, you know what? That might be the best steak I ever seen, customer. Can I get a bite? You know, like, hey, can I cut the steak? Can I dip the steak in the little au jus sauce that I just want? It looks really good. It's the best steak I've ever seen that my chef made. And I can't let you have all of it. Can I cut into it and try a little bit? Doesn't happen because we're in a service industry. And it's all about the customer. We wouldn't be able to do this without you guys that buy into the breaks. It's your cards. And that's it. I mean, we don't even cross the line of buying cards for that reason. Because, once again, we don't throw out values. Trevor Lawrence value probably pretty safe. He ended the season healthy. But what happened? I mean, what if he comes out tomorrow and says, you know what? I really like that art project I did with Topps. I'm quitting football. I'm going to do art. Okay, now we're talking about a $500 card. But the guy that or less. And the guy that got it was like, well, these guys told me $20,000. And I was ready to book a vacation. I already spent the $20,000. And that's where you cross the line. Because it's a piece of cardboard. At the end of the day, it's worth a piece of cardboard.
Also, I think the $20,000 valuation was off of an unsold eBay listing.
Exactly.
So, and we know, like, even sold eBay listings, suddenly that price changes down the road. And you know, to not try to sound, maybe this next comment is going to sound like a bunch of old guys talking down to some kids, but like, act like you've been there before, you know, kind of to go along with what you guys are saying.
I said that to a Niner fan at the Rams game.
Well, probably a kid, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really,
I mean, not a kid. It wasn't like an 8-year-old or anything, but like, right. It was.
He's had a couple of years and probably a couple beers.
Yeah. I like that. But a couple beers.
But really, that's what it comes down to. Act like you've been there before. And yeah, what's weird is like, yeah, if they're able to throw all that money around, then yeah, what's a 20K kaboom card? And to like, you know, like, I see you guys and I've pulled it and we've all pulled cards that are probably more valuable than this, but we're not like, it's cool. It's a really cool moment and it's fun to like enjoy that moment and enjoy it for the person you broke it for. But like,
and
just,
you know,
just inexperience. Exactly. And you know, just getting a little too big for their britches.
I mean, and C-Rad, I know C-Rad's got to get some breaks going here. And probably some of our biggest pulls have came from C-Rad. And never any emotional attachment to the cards.
Just happy for the customer.
Talk to them like you were going to move as, you know, number one breaker in the industry. You can find him all over the Hits app. Download that today. What would you tell guys like this?
I'll just tell them, bro.
Get a shirt that fits.
Hey, somebody told me this a long time ago. Hey, all you have is your word and your balls. So stick to it.
Yep.
You know, if you say something, mean it. That's the only advice I can give them as young men moving forward if they want to grow their whatever their future endeavors are, or if they want to keep growing their brand.
I thought you were going to say if they wanted to grow their balls.
All you got is a word and your balls, and that's it.
Yep. I'll quote the great Brian Gavin and Rich Layton and regarding this situation. And if this is our competitors and what the breaking segment is starting to become, I'm out. I'm done.
Yeah, I know. It's like, and you can't even say it's a get off my lawn moment because none of us would ever do anything.
I can't.
Like this.
I can't compete. I can't compete. I can't compete with the headband. I can't do it.
They're enjoying their moment in the sun here for a little bit. Their moment in the spotlight. But I'd imagine like, because they're probably gonna show up at a show, right?
Yeah, I mean,
and I feel like they're gonna get this. Is gonna be a rude awakening.
This is a very small industry. Everybody knows everybody, right? You better believe that people are gonna be having conversations about this company with sales reps from distributors, with sales managers from manufacturers. If they don't know about it already, they will know about it. They have a reputation that they'll never be able to come back from. This industry is a never forget, especially with the people who've been locked into the industry for decades. So this mistake, however they tried to rectify it, isn't going to go away. It will be a black eye on their company until the end of time.
Specifically with guys like us that are going to be around events that are going to have opportunities. I mean, if we ever did anything like that, obviously we wouldn't be here today, but we would never be respected by our peers. And there's a good segment of other breakers that haven't done anything shady, but have maybe been outspoken to the point and done some things that are maybe not considered ethic on the way they've marketed some of their brands, and they're not respected. So obviously these guys, and those guys didn't even do anything shady. These guys did something shady. They will never be respected in the group of breaker peers. Now they may just be able to revolve through customers, and maybe in a year from now, people will try their breaks, because they'll be like, I heard of them. I don't remember but they're gonna have a revolving door of people that are willing to try them. And it's sad. I mean, it shouldn't be given customers for that reason, but you know, there's a lot of customers looking to get into stuff.
Well, distributors shouldn't. There's other accounts out there that have worked really hard and struggled to get allocation, and these guys might be taking away allocation from accounts that have been around for 10, 15, 20 years, different shops. So distributors definitely need to be aware of that. I know we talk about it all the time. It's about that money. It's about that overall spend. It is about what you're willing to pay me for boxes and cases, but reputation does play a little bit of part in it. Not as much as it used to, but it still has its place.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to move on to the next topic. I know C-Red has to get to breaks. So I wanted to talk about, we had a great poll on our Mojo Break Media Twitter. Make sure you follow us there at Mojo Break M on Twitter. Which QB stock fell the most in the hobby this past weekend? We've got Mac Jones, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, and Jalen Hurts. And you guys voted, half of you voted for Kyler Murray. So it was a big landslide, which is actually surprising to me that Dak didn't get any votes. I have a pretty big Kyler Murray PC. Me and Dan both have one together, and it was a pretty sad Monday night game.
It was okay.
There. It was good for you as a
it
Ram
was okay.
fan.
I mean, I will gladly lose value in a prospect PC to get a playoff
100K worth, you'll be fine.
Sure,
okay,
sure. I'll pay 100K for a win.
I guess if it was
whatever.
I guess if it was the Niners against the Cardinals, I'd have a different point of view. But
this is like when you're rooting, when you got a really good guy in your fantasy team against your favorite team. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, he had a 0 point day, just with a lot more monetary value.
It's pretty much exactly like that. Now, yeah, I would have been crushed if that would have happened against the Niners. If the Cardinals Niners would have played and Kyler would have looked like that, I'd have been like, this is terrible. But the good guys won, so I'm fine with losing a little bit of value. Actually, probably a lot of value. But there's no doubt that Kyler is talented.
Yeah.
Still got a good team around him. I think you buy. I think right now, let people get out of him. Let it hit the floor.
I don't know, man. I'm not saying I'm out on them. I think I'm holding what I have, obviously, because I've probably paid significantly more than what they would be going for now. But, I mean, that's two seasons in a row where he was hot for the first eight games and was below mediocrity for the second half of the season. Now, this year you can point to D-Hop. I think they were, what was the stat? They were 8-1 with D-Hop and then 2-8 or something, or 2-whatever it was without D-Hop.
I think only 3 wins without D-Hop, 8-2 with him.
So, I mean, if one skill position guy is making your team, you got to question Kyler's ability. Running quarterbacks seem to get figured out over time, and he's not obviously the tallest guy. So if you crowd the middle of the field, I think the Niners have actually exposed him by running on the outside, so containing his routes on the outside to run, forcing him to step up in the pocket, which he's a little bit shorter, and then making him try to make throws from the middle of the pocket while being rushed. And I don't want to say that's the strategy that worked. It seemed like a lot of teams used that same strategy, And he wasn't able to overcome that. Now, maybe in the offseason, he tries something different. But right now, I'm really down on Kyler. I don't see what you see. I wish I would have sold after week 9. I didn't when they were like, what, 7-1? I think they were the best team at some point.
Yeah, if you would have sold that, I mean, that would have been a ridiculous read on the situation, right? And you would have, week to week, you would have probably been like, beating yourself up over it because you're like, man, can't believe that. Can't like he's gonna win the MVP. I mean, he's still gonna get votes for MVP. The thing about him running though, it's either their system or him. He doesn't seem to want to run as much as he used to. I mean, he barely ran against the Rams. He had 6 yards rushing.
Yeah.
That is probably one of his best attributes. And he doesn't do it as much as he probably should.
Well, yeah, but I think defenses are scheming against it now. So they're saying, beat us throwing, and he's not. So that every other defense from now until he changes the way he plays is going to stop him from running. They're going to clog the middle. They're going to put the guys on the edge. They're going to stop. They're going to make him throw downfield. And he hasn't been able to successfully do that.
But you can't replace a D-hop with Christian Kirk. You can't replace a D-hop with the A.J. Green.
But they have Zach Ertz at the end of the season.
And they brought Zach Ertz in there, but D-hop for the last almost decade has been the most consistent performer at his position.
And I want to say that James Conner was leading the league in touchdowns at one point. So obviously the run game was successful. Usually the run game complements the passing game, so I don't know what happened. I don't watch enough Cardinal games. That Monday night game was obviously probably great. Not a great example, but
that was a great game.
It was a great game for you. Jalen Hurts, I'm surprised didn't get a lot of votes. I mean, some are saying that he was playing through injury. I mean, I guess that would make sense. He looked absolutely terrible against that Tampa Bay defense. I think it was Aikman that was kept saying, like, why aren't you throwing the ball to Devontae Smith, who was in single coverage most of the game? So obviously he wasn't. And they were showing a lot of times where Devontae Smith was wide open. And for whatever reason, Jalen Hurts wasn't throwing to his college teammate. So that was interesting. The run game could not get going for them. Miles Sanders was not having a good game. So we have an NT Stars and Stripes of him, and probably should have sold that too. Second year, I guess you can't really consider his first year. He didn't play much, but this was maybe his first full year. So I'd probably sell him if I had him, maybe wait to the beginning of the season. Mac Jones, I'm not too concerned about. Mac Jones might be a buy. But Dak Prescott, if you can get anything from him.
Oh man.
Sell.
It's over.
Yeah.
It's over. Any talk of him as an elite quarterback in this league, done.
Yep.
Not $74 million,
dude. I don't take you seriously.
Nope.
This isn't Niner bias talking.
Nope. 74 is, million reasons why this, he's not washed up.
He is a great fantasy quarterback, just like Tony Romo was. That's all I'll say.
Remember that year where the year before he got hurt?
He was
throwing for five. The year before he got hurt on that run, he was throwing for like, he had the most yards in the league, but they were like 6-6 or something. Or they were like 500, but he had stats of like a MVP at that point. Now, I know one guy can't win the game, but like, what's going on? Is he missing third downs? He's 2016 rookie, right there with Wentz and Goff, and you know where those guys are now. I'm putting him in the same category as Goff and Wentz at this point. That's it. I'm not investing in him.
He's still the best of those guys. He's still the best.
That's our.
But again, that's not like a huge hill to climb.
I know it's
there.
Different rookie class, but why don't you throw Garoppolo in there?
Garoppolo's been to a Super Bowl and has more playoff wins.
No. Again, I think it's this, that Garoppolo, I don't even have him in the same league as like
yeah, he's not an investment
he's
guy.
He's like probably like 32nd.
Let's not go crazy. But like,
sure
we
had a great comeback in week 18.
We were putting him in Dak Prescott top 10. I think a lot of people were putting him in the top 10. And I just don't think he's in that conversation
anymore. I think without a doubt, everybody puts Dak Prescott in the top 10.
Top 15?
I think I still have him in the top 10.
I
but
just think
you talked
that
to me,
a lot of guys
you talked to
him.
Me earlier in the season,
yeah.
And before season, I probably had Dak in the top 5.
Right.
Yeah.
He just showed no guts in that game. I don't know what it was. And then obviously the play at the end of the game where he took off and ran.
But everything is so let's say he ends up driving the Cowboys down and they win the game.
might be a different conversation.
We 100%.
It's not might. It is a different conversation.
This conversation is, are you buying Dak right now because his prices are going through the roof?
Yeah, you're right.
So we're talking a couple plays here and there changed the complete narrative of his hobby value.
Is it Mike McCarthy? I mean, let's face it. Mike McCarthy was gifted a Super Bowl win with the Aaron Rodgers era of Packer football. And a lot of people say that Mike McCarthy should have won a lot more Super Bowls. There was some decisions made. There was draft picks that were made that affected Mike McCarthy's tenure in Green Bay, but got a job because he won a Super Bowl. And now he's in Dallas and he has nothing to show for it. It's embarrassing that they went to, I think, 11 playoffs without getting to the championship now. And I mean, it's a stat that's unmatched by any other team that's went that many times.
Well, I can tell you right now, it ain't Mike McCarthy. What's the one thread through all of those playoff runs that the Cowboys haven't succeeded? There's one guy who's been there the whole time, and he's the guy running the show. It's Jerry Jones.
Glory hole.
Jerry Jones is the puppet master there.
Glory hole.
You can't like it. And he installs these coaches who he's going to pull the strings. And then it doesn't work.
Right.
Like, what's he supposed to? What's he expecting at this point?
I think the knock.
How old is Jerry Jones at this point?
He's got to be getting close to 80, if not already.
The knock
there
on him is, I mean, I don't think McCarthy is the answer there.
No.
I don't think Jason Garrett was the answer. It seems like he has his guys that he goes to be the leader, the head coach. But it's kind of a situation where you feel that he hires people that he can control. Mike McCarthy, you can come here,
100%.
But I'm going to essentially tell you what to do day in and day out.
Yeah.
Jason Garrett, I'm going to tell you essentially what to do day in and day out. He wouldn't be able to hire like a Bruce Arians. Or definitely. Like
a Harbaugh.
Or a Harbaugh.
Well, didn't
wasn't
Parcells there for a minute, right? And
yeah.
And that turned out terribly.
Yeah.
Because he wanted too much control.
Yeah.
So let me ask you guys, and we'll tie this into a giveaway, guys. We gotta name our giveaway from last week, our giveaway winner from last week. So comment here on Mojo Break Media for another $150 gift card, which can get you in the newest Mosaic football, chase some of these new rookie quarterbacks, including Trevor Lawrence, or, you know, spend it on baseball if you're a baseball fan or basketball, or we even do soccer. But out of these four guys, who are you buying? Mac Jones, Dak Prescott, Kyler Murray, or Jalen Hurts? And I want to know why. Tell me why. So don't put a name in there and say, hey, it's this guy. Put why are you buying him? And I'll ask you guys. Who are you buying, Dan, out of these four guys?
Kyler.
Still buying Kyler.
Kyler.
Crazy.
I think I actually just got done saying that. I think it's a great time to buy him. I think out of those four quarterbacks, I still think that he has the most upside.
Cody.
I think it's Kyler too. I would wait for the bottom to drop out because I think it is coming this week in the next couple of weeks and in the offseason. But he's still young. He's shown enough flashes. And of those four guys, like Dak has just had enough where I feel like we know exactly who he is at this point. Mac Jones, I don't see him getting much better than what we've seen. And Jalen Hurts is another one where I don't know where the ceiling is, but I don't think it's that much higher. So Kyler still has so much untapped potential. I still think it's Kyler.
I'm Mac Jones all day. I'll tell you why. Because he made it to the playoffs in his rookie season, which none of those guys did. Maybe Dak did. Dak may have done that. But Dak is long in the tooth compared to Mac Jones at this point. He's a lot older. When I say that, that's what I mean by that, is he's a lot older now. In hobby years, he's ancient. 2016, we had probably 5% of the collectors in the hobby in 2016 that we have now. We have 5% of you guys were still hanging on. In 2019, I feel like that's in the Wayback Machine. And I don't think there was people collecting then. The 2020 and the 2021 rookie season is what made a lot of collectors. So there's a lot of Mac Jones fans. And for him to get a playoff game in his first season, that is a success. That is an absolute success to make it to a playoff game. Belichick's going to still be there. They're going to have an offseason with him. They're going to add some more pieces. And he's a character. He's a guy. I mean, he's a cigar, right? He's got the cigar with the shirt off. I think Mac Jones has hobby love more than every one of these guys that are on this list. Kyler Murray, for whatever reason, plays in Arizona. When was the last time a guy in Arizona sold? I mean, D-Hop didn't sell. Who sold in Arizona? Name a player that sold for the Arizona Cardinals.
Like the chosen one.
He didn't sell, but for his rookie year, maybe?
Josh Rosen sold his rookie season.
Yeah, but after his rookie season, he was out there working at McDonald's.
Jake Palmer.
Jake the Snake?
But none of these guys have reached the top tier
Kyler's,
hobby.
But Matt Kyler's Jones so different. Kyler's a whole different beast.
He like,
And the dual sport thing, I think, plays into that. By the way, I think the A's still own his rights as a player.
Well, here's the thing. If I was
– I don't think we're quite – I think we put like – more seasons into it, maybe that conversation happens, but like,
no, so
we got real quick jumping the gun with like, well, lost in the playoffs, better go play spring training ball as soon as they open up.
And I agree with you there. And I'm not saying if I was starting a franchise today and I was picking one of these guys, absolutely Kyler Murray. I would pick Kyler Murray. But in the hobby, I'm picking Mac Jones. Just because I think his values are not going to take much of a hit, and people are going to be ready next year for the next step from him. People are going to be like, he made it to the playoffs. Next year, what is it? Going to be AFC Championship or Super Bowl? The Belichick's, he's the mad scientist. He's going to figure it out. He's going to get back to the Super Bowl. So that's why I think the safer value for me, and I'm not telling you guys what to do, and I want to hear what your comments are. I think the safe guy for me investment-wise out of these four is Mac Jones.
You know who I think Mac Jones is? Ben Roethlisberger. That's the best case scenario for him.
Super Bowls.
Absolutely.
The most underrated.
No value in the hobby compared to what
he's
done.
Hall of Fame. But when it comes to hobby love, one of the most undervalued quarterbacks.
Because there was never a season where you could say Ben Roethlisberger was the best quarterback in football. Now, granted, he played the same time as Peyton Manning. And as Tom Brady.
And he also was in the same rookie class as Eli Manning.
But I would argue that Mac Jones is going to be playing at the same time as guys like Kyler Murray, however you feel about Trevor Lawrence or Trey Lance down the road or what any of these guys from the last Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. He's going to be playing with those guys. I just feel like no matter if he reaches his peak and is a Super Bowl winning quarterback, he'll still be the fifth best quarterback almost every year.
Yeah, and you get back to Kyler. You go halfway through the season, and he is the consensus MVP. He is the best quarterback in the league, and people could make an argument that he's the best football player in the league.
And I get
and how we go from that to scrub is unbelievable.
But see, his prices were never as high as Mac Jones. Even then, that's what's concerning to me as a person that's going to invest in him, is that he – even for what he was accomplishing, he still wasn't selling. Him and Lamar Jackson, for whatever reason, they don't sell beyond what they sold in their rookie year, even though they've performed better than their rookie year after their rookie year. It's just there's certain guys in the hobby that just don't catch on to the hobby lore.
Okay, so you make the argument with the Cardinals, right? What Cardinal player has sold? What Cardinal player has sold? Well, before Patrick Mahomes, what Chiefs player sold?
Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson did not sell.
Priest Holmes. Yeah.
No. I mean, good fan. Again, good. Tony Gonzalez. No. Nobody sold. Did Aaron Murray sell?
No. And I'm trying to think of any other rookie quarterback that they had. I know Aaron Murray didn't even really play. Alex Smith was obviously there for a while, but he wasn't a rookie on their team.
I mean, as a quarterback. The quarterback that sells for the most in a Kansas City uniform that is not Patrick Mahomes is Montana.
We'd have to look back at maybe Trent Green's prices when he came out and he was named the starter.
Nope.
I wasn't really collecting cards as much then.
I can tell you right now, being a Ram fan, I'm pretty sure that they didn't go for a lot.
Didn't go for a lot. Didn't seem like it. But let's pivot to another football topic here. You know, everybody's all gaga about quarterbacks. We just had that segment. We're talking about quarterbacks. Wide receivers are standing out big time in this playoff. You've got Jamar Chase. I was thinking Lamar Jackson. Jamar Chase. You got Cooper Kupp, who's going to possibly win the Triple Crown, or actually did win the Triple Crown, right? Is that confirmed?
He did.
Okay.
Already did.
And then you got Deebo Samuel, who has the record for most rushing touchdowns in a season by a wide receiver, all going to be playing this weekend. And I wonder if there's some value there, if there's some short-term pickups that you can do on these guys, all playing on underdog teams, I must mention, heading into this weekend, right? Bengals being underdogs against the Titans, Rams being underdogs against the Bucks, and Deebo being an Niners being an underdog against the Packers. Which guy, without putting your Homer hat on, which guy would you, and we'll look at some of their prices, which guy would you invest in and why? And we'll start with Dan.
Man, I'd probably go Ja'Marr Chase. And the reason why I don't say Cooper Kupp is, for whatever reason, he is, what, 2018 rookie, maybe? I think he's 18.
17, which is a hard product.
Yeah, so you're not going to get it. That's Patrick Mahomes. That's real tough. But even 17, 18, 19, 20, I mean, he's put up phenomenal stats every year. Has pretty much gotten overlooked until the last 2 years as even being considered the number one receiver on his team.
Right, and we can look at these. I mean, a good comparison here is the slide where you're seeing some Ja'Marr Chase cards. So you're seeing a gold standard patch auto that sold for $1,000 and a Spectra that sold for $800. Now, the gold standard, which has got really nice patches, number to 49 sold for $1,000. You can compare it to a Cooper Kupp, number to 25, maybe not nice as a patch, but $260. So 20%, basically, 25% of the sale of the Ja'Marr Chase was Cooper Kupp. So, I mean, that goes to show you that it's almost pointless if you're looking at it from an investment to hold on to a receiver past their rookie year. That goes to show that Ja'Marr Chase is probably going to head down that route too when 2025 comes around and we have somebody else getting 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns or whatever Ja'Marr Chase did, right? So when does the tide turn for wide receivers? When do we look at these guys and watch their value increase over the years as opposed to decrease? Because right now they're all decreasing.
Receivers are tough. You have, what, 4 receivers on every team that get pretty consistent playing time. You probably have 6 or 7 on the full roster.
Yeah.
So with today's NFL, even though Cooper Kupp and Ja'Marr Chase and Deebo Samuel put up ridiculous stats, like, the ball is spread around a lot. It isn't the same player that is getting – I mean, granted, Cooper Kupp had a bunch of receptions, but I think – there's just so many more players at that position to really lock down on, like, a handful of players.
But, I mean, what Cooper Kupp did this year, are we going to see that broken again next year? Is that going to be – how often does that happen?
By him?
Well, I'm just saying that doesn't happen too often, right?
No.
I mean, I know we added a game this year.
We added a game, and I think if we didn't add a game, we would really be talking about it. But I think that is the little hiccup with this story is that, well – there is another game.
Right.
And even Cooper Kupp alluded to the fact that, like, there's another game. And he's like, I'm not really doing this for, like, personal. Like, it's great to, like, achieve these goals and get the triple crown. He's like, but that isn't what I'm out here trying to do.
Right.
And I think in general, just football's played differently now, where I don't think these types of seasons were possible 20 years ago. I mean, what? We're only 10 years separated from the previous triple crown season, of course, with Matt Stafford as QB, being the link there. But, like, I don't think it's that far-fetched to think that if Ja'Marr Chase has Joe Burrow throwing to him for the next 5-6 years, that it could happen again. And then if another guy comes around, you know, I don't think it's super crazy to think that maybe sort of like during the 90s and 2000s when suddenly every home run record was just being obliterated because right. The game was different for some reasons, that you're going to see maybe the same thing happening to football here with a guy like Ja'Marr Chase. I do wonder, I meant to look it up, what's Justin Jefferson going for right now?
That's true. That's another guy we can throw in the mix. Yeah. Who?
Because
he did have a record this year, right? He had some kind of record he was flirting with.
He was top 3, I think, after being the number 1 rookie last year and being a top 5. I mean, he's off to as good a start as anybody. And another guy that kind of speaks to, I don't really know why the wide receiver stuff doesn't go big. I know, Dan, you were saying, yeah, there's more guys, but I get it, like, for running backs, because running backs get hurt. Their careers are shortened, so you don't want to invest. It's all about the flip game. Whereas receivers, like, I look at a guy like Mike Evans on the Buccaneers. I think he just had, what, his seventh or eighth straight 1,000-yard receiving season to start his whole career. It's never happened before, I think. He's on a Buccaneers team that won a Super Bowl, could be on a way to another Super Bowl, and I would guess that his value in the hobby is close to nothing.
Well, now we're going ancient because that's 2014.
Right.
Well,
but that's what I'm saying.
But you look at Mike Evans, and the crazy thing about Mike Evans is think about how many different coaching regimes he's gone through. How many different quarterbacks? I mean, he had Jameis Winston, but Winston got hurt a couple years there. So he had Mike Glennon. Mike Glennon was out there. I mean, it's one thing to say that, like, you have Tom Brady throwing to you, like, every year, but he hasn't, and he has still consistently put up a 1,000-yard season. I think he is – I don't have to look at it. I know he is undervalued.
He's probably, out of these four, he's probably even lower than those guys.
I would actually probably say, and I think he's the same year as,
He's the same year as Garoppolo, 2014.
Same year as Odell Beckham.
And yeah.
I bet Odell Beckham sells for more than Mike Evans.
That one catch. Yeah, I mean, somebody bought a Contenders auto for under $150.
And don't get me wrong, I love Odell Beckham. One of my favorites.
But, dude, like, if you're trying to give advice to somebody that's holding on to a Ja'Marr Chase card, the stats show you should just sell now, right? I mean, right now, probably this week, because chances are, I mean, they're not favored in the game. I mean,
I saw that Cooper Kupp gold vinyl for $10,000.
Yeah.
If you have a high-end Cooper Kupp, you got to sell it.
Yeah, sell that now, too. But, I mean, he's even lower than Ja'Marr Chase.
They're not saying there's going to be another Cooper Kupp, but there will be another dynamic, young, great receiver in the league that will get more hobby love. Almost certain.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even like maybe. It's like, no, next rookie class, the rookie class after that, there's always going to be a receiver that comes out.
Yep.
And people are going to be like, Ja'Marr Chase is good.
Yeah, remember Julio Jones, 2011?
AJ Green.
Yeah. Nobody cares now. I mean, even Larry, you can make the argument Larry Fitzgerald can be top three of all time. His cards got some value, but not anywhere near what they should be based on what he's done in his career. Calvin Johnson, too, maybe career was cut short, but had that triple crown before.
You look at, from hobby value, you even look at Jerry Rice and Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Terrell Owens. These are all players that you can get autographs out of product, relatively new product. I mean, they've all kind of signed. T.O. hasn't signed much.
Not much lately.
But you can still probably get their autos I can almost guarantee you, cheaper than a Ja'Marr Chase.
Yep, absolutely. So let's name our winner from last week here, Cody, on who won our giveaway on the hype. Make sure you guys do hit subscribe here to help your chances of winning. Subscribe to our Mojo Break Media here. And once again, remember to enter the giveaway for this week on which QB that didn't perform last week playoff that you would buy and why. But what do we got for this week as far as
we're still going. We got some stuff we got to talk about.
It's still loading. Make sure you check out mojobreak.com for your breaks. We are doing more football breaks this weekend. It's a big weekend for football. Niners are going to Lambeau.
Got a question for you, Doug.
Yes.
I am not going to give the whole, like, who's going to win between the Niners and the Packers, because we know what you're going to say. Over or under 46 points?
If it's not snowing, over.
No. I mean,
Over.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I'm going to go under on that. I actually don't even know if that's the number. I just pulled that number out.
Yeah.
It feels like that would be a Vegas type of number, 40, 45 and a half, 46, something like that.
Right. Yeah, I think it's going to be over. I mean, I think last time they played it was over. Granted, it was in Levi. Now we're going to Lambeau. So we'll see. And so who do we got for the win?
Our winner, we asked everyone, what was your favorite non-traditional sports product of 2021? Samuel Palumbo is our winner. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that contact us form on the Mojo Break website, fill it out, and we will get you your prize, under $50 in break credit. I think he said UFC was the best, which was nice. A pretty common answer. UFC, F1, saw a few WWE sprinkled in there, and somebody did ask a question that I think we've all been asking. Hey, my favorite's usually Goodwin. Where is it?
Don't know.
No one.
Upper Deck has had some problems making some products with the supply chain issues. So hopefully that comes back soon, because there's going to be some really cool stuff in that.
Yeah.
So look forward to definitely breaking that on MojoBreak.com and contact through MojoBreak.com's contact form with your info. And that's all we got for this week's episode of The Hype. Make sure you jump at MojoBreak.com for your breaks, where everything is scheduled. Everything is guaranteed to fill. And I think we're breaking every type of sport now. We got soccer. We got UFC. We're doing some golf occasionally. We got hockey. We've got NASCAR racing. We're doing National Treasures racing again this upcoming Monday. We'll be scheduled here soon. And, of course, baseball, football, basketball as well. So, and then MojoBreakShop.com for that deal on the hoops. It's the lowest price on the internet. Get that hoops box delivered to you. Pull out that Cade Cunningham. Get in on that. And that is it. Make sure you follow us at MojoBreak_com on Twitter for MojoBreak, and MojoBreak M on Twitter for MojoBreak Media. All right, guys. We'll see you guys next week. Peace.